if you're creating anything, I would guess, Travis, you're not just writing your book because you feel like it. You're writing it for a reason. You want it to serve beyond you. And that's what a really great story can do. But the piece that's often missing from storytelling workshops and everything is that transitional, that bridge. And so I'm going to make sure that we walk across that bridge together. So people will leave the session with something tangible that they can start using. And it's exciting. I'm getting chills thinking about it.
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great, thank you. Roger.
And we're back. We are here. It's now. And now as we get ready for Military Creator Con 2026, you're watching this series. We have amazing individuals in their own space coming to Military Creator Con in Arlington, Texas, April 16th through 18th, to share, educate, learn, listen, and have fun. And our next guest is Mary Lou Kayser, who's going to talk about what she does, how she's, you know, gotten there, and what we can expect when we see her. Mary Lou, welcome to this conversation.
Thank you, Travis.
So there's all kinds of people coming to Military Creator Con 2026. And by the way, there's still time for you to get tickets to this amazing event. And Mary Lou is joining us. Now, Mary Lou, you're in a very like ethereal, cool field, you know, kind of educating us all about, you know, how connections work. If that's how I take it. But for those of you who don't know you, haven't met you, tell us about you and what you're doing.
All right. Well, I've spent years working in content and creativity. I've written several books, podcasting for 12 years. And in that time, Travis, what I've noticed is a lot of people, really awesome people, like high-performing professionals, are fully capable of moving forward with something, but they find themselves getting stuck. And it's not because they don't have discipline. It's not because they don't have capacity. It's because no one taught them how to read the terrain that's changing under our feet as we speak. And I'm sure a lot of people watching this are very familiar with what I'm talking about. And so the work that I do and what I love seeing with the people that I work with is getting that orientation so that their full creativity can come forward and they can bring what they imagine into the world so that it helps others.
So right there, I want to dig in a little bit because there's two people that come to mind, Jerry Seinfeld and my main man, my hero, Gary Vaynerchuk. And I write, and sometimes I get into little pauses. And to listen to Jerry Seinfeld, he just says, hey, Travis, you're lazy. You're not trying to write enough to actually get through your writing block. And then Gary Vaynerchuk, and I love him. I love him to death. You know, he really inspired me to get my stuff going. He's like, you know, if you're not putting out 20 to 30 pieces of content a day, you're not even, you know, you're lazy. So it sounds like you have a different view on this kind of like size for size's sake, or for scale for scale's sake, if you will. What's the real deal, Mary Lou?
Well, the real deal is both of those people you just mentioned are highly successful because they did pursue their craft, their art, their mission. Okay. And let's not forget, they had a huge team behind them. Yes, Jerry Seinfeld sat in wherever he did and wrote his jokes. And he got a lot of feedback. I'm a Seinfeld fan as well. There are several episodes where we actually witness him asking Elaine or George or Kramer for feedback on his jokes. And that's part of this process, is we're not in isolation. And Gary Vaynerchuk, also highly successful at what he does. And the reason he can put out 20, 30, 50 pieces of content a day is because he has a huge team doing that. He himself is not doing that. He is creating it, speaking and sitting in rooms, and he's very much involved, and he has a team. So I don't know if that answers your question. Scale is an interesting word. It gets tossed around a lot today, and I know plenty of people who are actively scaling their businesses right now. Not everybody wants to do that. Some people want to be in the lane of a solopreneur or a creator who's working on developing their own IP. And maybe down the road, they imagine building something bigger. At the beginning, though, it often is just you and your ideas and maybe some friends. Or what's great about today's world is we can look to people like Gary Vee and Jerry Seinfeld, and you can fill in the blank with anybody else. Their content is available to us through books and videos and podcasts, and we can learn from them as if they're in the room with us and lean on their experiences and glean what makes sense for us and then leave the rest behind.
Now, you mentioned something that's near and dear to me is this idea of doing it alone in isolation. And, you know, you're going to be in a group of people, Mary Lou, that love doing it alone. Like, yeah. We love the, you know, I don't need any help. I can do it all by myself. I don't need you. And it's very hard to get this group you're going into to get out of that mindset. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling, it's just a feeling, I don't know you, that you've dealt with this before. So what would you tell someone like me who's kind of like, he wants to be a lone wolf and not really get help?
I would say, Travis, I totally get it because I'm that way too. I am a recovering lone wolf, okay? I get it. It is the bane of our existence, I think. Many of us, listen, we grew up in America where individualism is prized, where we are taught you can figure it out, right?
And yes.
And we can to a certain point. And so, like anything else, it is a process of exploring, okay, where did that messaging come from? Why do I feel like I need to do this by myself? Why is it that I think I'm the only one who can do it because I'm going to do it right? That's a biggie. And again, I am among friends. There'll be a bunch of lone wolves in a pack.
Now, it's funny you make that association. Like, you know, a lot of us are coming together and we're meeting each other for the first time. But I think it's a very apt description of Military Career Con. Mm. We're coming together to form the pack. And the pack can go out there and take down prey and do things much larger than themselves. Are you excited to be in the pack, Mary Lou?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so excited to be in a room with other people who are raising their hand and saying, yes, I want to carry forward whatever creative mission is in their heart, their head. Maybe they've started it already. Maybe they're coming to the conference for the first time and are looking to be inspired. Everybody's at a different place in their journey. And at the same time, I fundamentally believe we all share some universal truths, like we want to make a difference. We want to serve. We want to be part of a purpose that's bigger than ourselves. And I'm a huge advocate that creativity is one of the most powerful ways that we can do it. And yes, it does require time alone. I'm a writer. I don't write in a pack. I write it alone in my office or my house or if I'm out hiking or whatever. At some point, though, that aloneness has to go out and I have to involve other people. My editor, for example, my board of advisors that I run things by and get their feedback. And I personally didn't serve in the military, but my grandfather was stationed in World War II. He was an Army medic in the South Pacific. And let me tell you, he wasn't operating and dealing with soldiers coming in alone. He had a team around him. And it's a really nuanced dance that we all do between wanting to do things ourselves and then letting the pack support and help us. And I think this conference is going to really support both of those endeavors because two things can be true at the same time.
Absolutely. And maybe you didn't serve, but you heard your grandfather's stories, you got perspective there. Mm-hmm. What is it about the military career that makes them the same but different from somebody who maybe didn't serve in the military?
Oh, yeah. Well, just the fact, I mean, that alone, they served. Everyone who sat down at that desk or stood in front of the person who enlisted them signed on a piece of paper saying, I am willing to give my life for this. And for any of us who have not done that, we don't know what that feeling at that moment is. However, I think that what we do share in common when you've made that choice, like I have, and I'm sure people watching this have made that choice, is I am here to serve beyond myself. One of the acts of service I am currently involved in, which isn't like going into war or any of the acts that military people do to protect us, but I am serving my mother who has Parkinson's. And I'm witnessing her decline every single day. And I can only imagine that there's some similarities to when you do rise above yourself. And if you bring children into the world as a parent, if you do raise your hand and say, I'm going to take care of somebody who cannot take care of themselves. That to me, over the years, I've interviewed at least a dozen vets on my podcast who have talked about that they carry forward that mission and vision to serve beyond themselves because there is something greater. It may no longer be exactly I'm serving my country, but it's a different audience that's within the larger context of a nation or a country.
So if you will allow me, I'd like to bounce off something that I'm experiencing right now with trying to write my first book.
Okay.
Maybe this is fate or destiny, I don't know. So I suffered a ruptured quadricep 4.5 years ago and had, I couldn't walk 4 years ago.
Mm.
And I went through the recovery process. It's been a long, climb up and I'm better now. Like I won't be on a walker cane when you meet me, Mary Lou, but I'm good. And I've been encouraged emphatically to write about it. I started writing about it. And one of the things that is kind of like, it's really weird is when I get back to remembering how hard it was or the pain around the recovery post-surgery, I don't like being there. It's hard for me to get there to do that. And I'm having trouble moving through that like I'd like to. Is this something that's more in your wheelhouse to address? Am I unique or what am I doing wrong?
You're not doing anything wrong. Revisiting an old wound, whether it's physical, like what you went through, Travis, or emotional, which we all have inside that we don't see. That's hard work. Okay. I'm not going to lie. You are not doing anything wrong if you're feeling resistance around it, if it's uncomfortable. We don't like pain as human beings. We do everything we possibly can to avoid it. And yet, I think as a person goes through their life and has more experiences where something like what happened to you, we encounter, that becomes the gift. And the gift that you're sitting on right now is you now get to go back and look at it from who you are today. And yeah, there's going to be some parts where you're like, ugh, I didn't really want to be in this again. But that is part of you moving through it. And whatever story that you're bringing forward from that, I guarantee you there's somebody who can relate to it.
That might be my MCC right here, right now. I didn't think of it that way.
Mm.
I thought that, it was kind of like I was punishing myself by being there. And now it's just a couple of sentences you said, a couple of paragraphs, but now it's like, wait a minute. I'm not thinking of the fact of where I am right now and taking the reader through that journey.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that I'm going to be back there for an extended period of time again. And that's not the case.
Mm-mm.
All right. Mary Lou, I promise you, I'm going to write this down.
This is being recorded. You can take the transcript.
Well, no. If you don't write it down, it doesn't.
I agree. Pen to paper. Hand to paper.
Yes, ma'am.
I agree.
And you're giving value. I've got to honor that value. And
you know,
how amazing. We're just having this conversation right here. And folks, I didn't know who she was. I mean, I knew who she was, but I didn't meet her until literally 15 minutes ago. And this is the kind of person you're going to meet at Military Creator Con 2026. And this is the value you're going to get by being there and listening and learning and watching. And if this is what I'm getting now, I literally cannot wait to talk with you further here in a couple of weeks.
I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited to meet people like you who you're writing your first book. Congratulations.
Ooh.
It's huge.
I don't know. I mean, it's new and it's different, but I'm, you know, it's just one foot in front of the other, like a lot of things in life.
Yes, it is.
For those other, you know, veteran creators and people listening to you, when you come to MCC, what should they expect when they hear your session and what you have to offer?
So, I guess, can I talk about what my session's about?
Yes.
Okay.
My
session is all about how to tell your story in an algorithmic and AI-driven world in a way that actually makes a difference. Not storytelling for the sake of storytelling, because we all know that doesn't work. Nobody cares about your story. In fact, one of the fellow speakers, Tom Schwab, who I've known only virtually for 12 years, and I'm so excited to meet him in person, he is very much an advocate about you can't just tell your story. It has to have a point. It has to resonate with the audience. And so I am going to be working with creators to dig down and find that story that they can use as a foundation for building whatever it is they're building. And I have a story that I use for my life that will illustrate this. And I will walk people through the process of finding the story, telling the story, and then making it count. Because we're all storytellers by nature. And why stories still matter is not just to fill the airwaves with a bunch of stories, but it's to anchor what it is you do with what problem you solve for other people. And if you're creating anything, I would guess, Travis, you're not just writing your book because you feel like it. You're writing it for a reason. You want it to serve beyond you. And that's what a really great story can do. But the piece that's often missing from storytelling workshops and everything is that transitional, that bridge. And so I'm going to make sure that we walk across that bridge together. So people will leave the session with something tangible that they can start using. And it's exciting. I'm getting chills thinking about it.
So you're talking about whatever your story is, it has to have a purpose.
Yes.
That serves the greater whole.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I cannot wait to get to this session. And I'll tell you what, I'll make you a promise, Mary Lou. Mm-hmm. I will tell you what my purpose is for doing this when we meet.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to it.
Right. I'm not going to do it now, but we'll do it then.
Save it.
You're coming to the Dallas-Fort Worth area here in a couple of weeks. It's coming up on us fast.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd be in front of a bunch of veterans doing something like this?
No. Now, to be honest, this was so out of left field and therefore just so exciting because of my grandfather's service, because my nephew is serving currently at Fort Campbell, because of the men and women I've interviewed on my podcast. I have a former boyfriend who served in the Army. I'm just very respectful of that choice that people make to serve at that level. It's not something I did. And so I'm in awe of it. And to be at an event where I'm going to have the opportunity to be listening to what other people are talking about, what's on their mind, what's on their hearts. And again, I feel like we're all at this point now, we want to move forward. We really do. There's just this like rumbling going on. And there's a lot of stuff that we're putting in our own way. And so I think that this conference is a real way to just bust through some of those blocks and really get some stuff going for people to see their creative dreams come true and also to make new connections.
Well, there is this aspect where some veterans, you know, are apprehensive, if you will, about, you know, talking about their creative desires or dreams or aspirations with non-veterans. But I think where this ecosystem, that's what I call it, allows us to do is we can meet each other where we are.
Yeah.
And then grow because of it. And I think it's a very unique proposition that MCC 2026 provides. How can people learn more about your podcast, your writing, your work right now, and what you've got coming up for 2026, Mary Lou?
Sure. So my website is The Hub. It's my name, marylloukazer.com. And from there, you can find links to things. People have been telling me that when they go to Amazon, sometimes because I have a two-word name, Travis, this can be a problem. The internet doesn't like two-word names. So I would say just go to my website, marylloukazer.com. You can find a link to my latest book, which is really at the foundation of the work I do now. And yeah, you can also just reach out to me there. I am active on LinkedIn and on Instagram. Those are the two social channels I choose to operate inside.
Last question and a half. What's it like when you work with somebody and you see them find their purpose? And I believe on your LinkedIn, because I LinkedIn you, is, and they orient to what I call their true north, and they start on a new course. What's that like for you?
Oh, man. It's like golden confetti coming down from the sky. It just feels, it's so amazing. I am a former high school and college English teacher. And at the end of a school year when I was in the public schools, and at the end of a semester when I was in the college, and I saw students leave different than they were when they walked in, because, not because of me, I'm just a guide. It was because we created together this thing that became energy they could take to achieve whatever it was that was next, whether it was going on to college, or it was going to serve in the military, or in the case of the college, it was to go into the workforce. And nothing feels as amazing, really, as just knowing that you see these people and you know they're going to go do good in the world. It just lights me up inside.
All right. Truly last question,
okay,
because I'm having such a great time, is let's go back like 10, 15, 50,000 years to those cave paintings in Europe where they got the hunter killing the woolly mammoth. And for some reason, they put the daubing on the wall, and people today still talk about that story. But to your point, that story had a purpose.
Yeah.
We don't know what the purpose is because we weren't there, but that had a purpose. And I think what I'm hearing from you is if you really embrace what you're trying to tell us and teach us, there might be some proverbial cave 10,000 years from now, and people, you know, think about us because we tuned our orientation that way. Is you think I'm full of it, or do you think
no,
that, you know, that might have some value?
I think it has value. First of all, let's be clear about how many people actually take the time and put the energy into creating anything that's beyond them, right? That in and of itself, I think, is what makes us fundamentally human. And it is a decision. It is a choice. And there's a lot of layers to it. You were getting at it earlier, the vulnerability, the fear that it's not good enough, or we're comparing ourselves to somebody else that's way over here, has been, you know, we have to get rid of all that and say, what is it? What is the context of my life? And what could it mean in the grand scheme of human history? And for most of us, Travis, honestly, we're not going to be those cave paintings, but I guarantee you there are people at this conference, you and I included, who are carrying forward stories that have been passed down through our families that in some way are shaping what we're doing, why we're doing it, for good or bad. And from this point forward, we have the ability to point ourselves in our true north in a way that not only makes a difference to us, but can make a difference to others. And that's the power of story at the end of the day. That is the power of story.
The power of story, the power of making a difference, the power of purpose, Mary Lou.
Yeah.
Look, this is just a preview of what you will experience at Military Creator Con 2026, April 16th through 18th in Arlington, Texas. We'll have the link to Mary Lou's work in the show post. I'm looking forward to meeting you, Mary Lou. this is just a, if this is just a couple of minutes with you, I can't wait to sit down with you and really like meet you in person. It's going to be an honor.
Likewise. Thank you for this.
We will see you soon. We will see you next time. Take care. And hey, it's coming soon. Get your ticket
at militarycreatorcon.com.
Great egg. You, Roger.